to setting up all the sound equipment and the speakers and everything like that. We're just hillbillies from Missouri, and we struggle sometimes with sound equipment and stuff like that. So bear with us, have grace on us, and we'll get it figured out and try not to blow your ears out in the process. But we're glad you're here tonight. We're glad that God brought a breeze and it's cooler weather out. And we'll just pray that God would meet with us tonight. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to meet here tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, you just fill this place with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would touch the hearts where they need touched, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come down on this place, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you walk up and down the aisles, Lord, and touch the hearts where they need touched, Lord. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what to say in our own flesh, Lord, but you know what needs said. You know what these people need, Lord. And we're asking you now, Lord, to come meet with us. We're asking you, Lord, that your words would be preached, Lord. I pray, Lord, your power would be here, Lord God. I pray, Lord, to be with you singing, Lord. Help us to sing with everything we've got, Lord, to praise and bring glory to your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask. In Jesus' name. When we sing tonight, I want you to sing with all your might. We've got a Savior that's worthy of praise. We've got a Savior that's worthy of us singing to him. And before we get going here, I'm going to read just a little bit of Scripture. And we're going to go to Acts 4:12. That's what's on the flyer. The reason it's on the flyer is the truth.
Amazing.
And this is what God said, not me. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Under heaven, whereby we must be saved. There's not salvation in any other thing. There's only salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day. And that's why we're here, is to glorify our Father. We're here to glorify Jesus Christ. And so Brother Gabe's going to lead the singing here, and I want to hear you guys sing. Give it your might.
Amen.
Turn to page 73. If we could all just stand up while we sing tonight, I think that would be a great idea.
Onward, may we go for your hand.
turn to page number 10.
Somebody up here.
good to us. God's real good to us. He's been answering prayers left and right. He's met with us last night, the night before. He got us here. And God, I believe, drawn everybody here that's here. And so we're glad that you're here. We really are. And we're glad that we can sing to God. We're glad that we don't have to worry about the police showing up and locking us up and dragging us off or nothing like that. We can worship, we can preach. And we're glad that we got the Bible. We've got the Word of God, the clear Word of God with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Brother Gibson, we're going to sing another song, and then I think he's got a special for us tonight. So, thank you.
Page number 54, The Haven of Rest.
Say, oh, wow.
Verse there, my soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. This world, I tell you what, you ever look out on that ocean, and you see an ocean with a storm, and I'll tell you, it's a scary sight. Those waves can get way on up there, and it'll take a big old boat and make it look teeny, teeny tiny out there in a big old storm. And it'll crash it up against some waves. But my question, and this song talked about it, is I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. And if your soul's not anchored to Jesus Christ, then you're just crashing about those waves. You're crashing in that ocean of sin and distress, and it'll drown you. But is your soul anchored? That's the question. And if your soul's anchored, there's rest in that. And if your soul's not anchored, that's why there's distress. And in this world right now, I tell you what, there's all types of distress out there. And your soul needs to be anchored to something more than yourself. Okay, you ready?
Without God or His Son,
anyways, aren't you glad we got a Savior that'll reach down? I'm glad we got a Savior that reached down. I was lost and undone. Who are we singing about? That was me. That was me, lost and undone. And if Christ isn't your Savior, you're lost and undone. And this is a rough world to be lost and undone in. But we've got a Savior, and He loves you. He loves you. We've got a Savior that loves us, and He'll reach down. He'll reach down tonight, and He'll save your soul up out of this ocean of sin, out of the dread of the stress of this world, out of the wickedness. I don't care how far you've gone, and how far you may have strayed, God can reach down and He can save us. We're glad we've got a Savior. Brother Josh, come on up here and preach for us tonight. Pray for him as he preaches.
Give me some more volume. There we go. All right.
If you came for a professional show,
this ain't it. Yeah, this ain't it. Yeah. All right. So we're going to be looking at a family tonight in the Bible. Who here has ever heard of Chaffin? Chaffin. All right. We've got a few people have. How many of you all raised in church? Can I see your hands? Okay, yeah, at least half of us. How many of y'all, if you weren't raised in church, those guys can raise your hand, and then everybody that has been in church since then fairly regularly, raise your hand. If you're generally a church-going person, that's almost all of us here today. So praise God for that. That's a good thing. We're going to look at a church-going family. Church-going family here today. The sons of Chaffin here. The sons of Chaffin. Chaffin was a good guy. Go to 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22 in your Bibles. We're just going to do the best we can. We're going to try and mind God, and we're going to go home. That's all I can do. That's what we'll do. And if God doesn't help us, there's no help for us. So, 2 Kings 22. And verse 8, it says here, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Chaffin the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, help us tonight. Lord, open our eyes to our need, Lord God, in this age that we live in. We say we're rich, we're full, we have need of nothing, Lord God, and we're poor and blind, miserable, naked, wretched, Lord God, in your sight. Lord God, we live in a day whenever everybody in this nation says, "Oh, I'm a Christian, I believe God." Just about everybody you meet, Lord God, that isn't a flaming, wicked, sinful person, Lord God, says that they believe in God. Lord, I'm grateful that they say that. I'm grateful that they acknowledge you. But Lord God, our fruit does not match our profession in this land. And we need your help tonight, Lord God. We need you to show us our need. Lord God, we need you to open our eyes. And we ask you to do that tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. For His sake and for His glory, that He might be magnified, they might receive the reward of His sufferings. Lord God, hide us behind Christ tonight. Lord, I pray nobody would be distracted with us. We're just a bunch of poor folks, Lord God, poor spiritually. Lord God, poor. Lord God, America's not a poor country, but we're sure poor spiritually. And we need your help today, Lord God, and we are asking for it with everything in our hearts. We just ask you to come down in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Sing this with me. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to pray? preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be scattered all around. Chaffin was a scribe. A scribe's job was to copy the Word of God. And without getting into that today, one of the reasons we have a perfectly preserved Bible today is because of the scribes. And if you've never studied how the scribes would work to keep this Bible pure, it's worth studying. We're not getting into that right now. But anybody that says that we don't have the Bible in English, that we have to go back to the Hebrew and the Greek, that we have it in the originals but not in English, they're either lying to you or they're deceived. We've got the Word of God. It's right here. The Word of God, the authorized version. Some people call it the King James Version. I might call it the King James Bible because it's not a version. This is the Bible. This is God's holy word. I stake my life on this book. Everything I am, everything I believe comes from this book. And I refuse everyone's excuses for not believing it. God said He'd preserve His word. And He would use scribes to do it. So Chaffin the scribe was one of the men that would spend his days in deep labor in the Word of God. And he would write the Word of God. He would copy it out laboriously, carefully, and then he would pass it on. They'd check it and cross-check it. His job every day was to copy the Word of God. But there's a funny thing that happens here. He's with Hilkiah the priest. Hilkiah tells him, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Now, wait a second. He found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Wouldn't you think that God's word would be in the pulpit of God's house? Well, unfortunately, Israel had gotten to a place where the Word of God was no longer in the pulpit. It had been pushed back into a closet somewhere, and they were listening to a bunch of men's doctrines and men's commandments and men's theology, and they had seminaries, they had everything else, they had religion, but they left the law of God. And Hilkiah the priest found the law in the house of the Lord, and he gave it to Chaffin the scribe. And that scribe, whose whole life was supposed to be in copying the Word of God, finally had his hands on the law of God. What on earth was he copying, Michael? What on earth did he waste his life copying? He didn't even have a Bible. And it says that they found it in the book of the law, and Chaffin read it. And Chaffin the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, to have the oversight of the house of the Lord." You see, the people had destroyed the house of the Lord. The people had desecrated the house of the Lord like we have today. They brought the world into the house of the Lord. They brought the idols into the house of the Lord. And they desecrated the word of the Lord. They pushed the word of God back into a corner. But King Josiah became king at 8 years old, and he had a burden in his heart for God, and he tried to follow God. And here the word of God is found and given to him many years after he became king. Verse 9 says, "And Chaffin the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, 'Thy servants have gathered the money.'" And here they were repairing the house of God. And Chaffin the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And I'm telling you tonight, we've got a book. We've got God's word in English. And God expects us to live by the book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The just shall live by faith. If you don't have the book, you don't have faith. And if you say you've got faith, but it's not based in this book, it's not faith. I don't know what it is, but it's not faith. Not faith in God. Faith means trusting the veracity of the one speaking. Veracity is a fancy word for honesty. That means if you say you have faith in God, what you're saying is, "I believe God's word." That's what faith in God means. I believe God's word. Oh, I have faith. That means you believe God's word. If you don't believe God's word, you don't have faith. Not in God. You might have faith in all kinds of stuff, but it's not God if you don't believe His word. Now, Chaffin read the book before the king, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. He tore his clothes because he realized the trouble that they were in. "Go ye," he said to the scribe. It says the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Chaffin and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Chaffin the scribe and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found." For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. That's us today. He said, great is the wrath of the Lord, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all which is written concerning us. So they went and asked, and the word of the Lord came back. Look at verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of this book, all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. But God told him he had mercy in the king of Judah's day, because his heart was tender, and Josiah set about to try and cleanse the nation. Josiah threw down the idols. Josiah cast out the false priests. Go to chapter 23 and verse 7. And Josiah, he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Israel had sunk to such a state that the Sodomites were linked up with the church. They had their arms linked with the church. And the church was saying, you're all right, just like you are. God doesn't need you to change. You can come and stay a Sodomite and be saved. And Josiah tore down their houses, and he drove them out of his land. You don't like that, it's Bible. You don't like that, you don't like the Bible. You cannot stay a Sodomite, stay saved. You can repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll save you. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, He'll save you. But if you stay in your sin, you're going to die and bust hell wide open. So here's Shaphan. He's a man who is involved with a major revival. They had a great feast of Passover. They sought God. The people gathered together. They prayed. They sent messengers into the worst parts. They sent messengers into New York City. They sent messengers into Nashville. They sent messengers into San Francisco. Maybe they sent some messengers into Gainesville. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Maybe they sent some messengers into Springfield, Missouri, where the sin has run rampant, where the sin is going unchecked, where people have forgotten that God even exists, where they have ordained priests to the lowest of the people. Anybody that says, I'm a preacher, can get up and fill a pulpit if he'll just smooth out his words and make them nice and oily and slick. He sent his preachers, Josiah sent his preachers in to tell him, we're going to go back to the Word of God. We're going to go back to the book. And Shaphan was involved in this revival. Shaphan was heavily involved in this revival. Shaphan had three sons, and we're going to look at them tonight. There was Ahikam. Everybody say Ahikam. Ahikam. There was Gemariah. Everybody say Gemariah. And there was Jaazaniah. Jaazaniah. There you go. I've never met a Jaazaniah. Not yet. And after you hear tonight what Jaazaniah was, you probably don't want to name your kid after him. These were the three sons of Shaphan. Ahikam, Gemariah, and Jaazaniah. Now this family was a successful family. This family was ambitious. They had a knack for surviving, and they managed to weed their way through the history of Israel right up to the carrying away. This family would survive three carrying aways: the carrying away of Pharaoh Necho, when the king of Egypt would come and carry away the people. The family of Shaphan would still be in Israel. Nebuchadnezzar would come and destroy the land and take a bunch of people captive, and there's the sons of Shaphan still in Israel. And then Nebuchadnezzar came a third time, and he left behind one of the grandsons of Shaphan named Gedaliah, who we'll look at later. And so there they are again. They survived three carrying aways. They're a religious family. They go to church. They are there in the house of God. They know the Word of God. They're involved in revival. And they survived all of these carrying aways. But then this, we're going to find out something today. I'm just going to spoil the story right now. They all disappear into obscurity and death. Every one of them. And we're going to look at why tonight. We're going to look at why. What happened to this family? What happened to this family? Is it possible that in spite of their service to the Lord and their country, is it possible they just got bad luck? Is it possible God forgot about them and forgot about all the good that they were doing? Is it possible they just fell on hard times? It's not possible. We're going to look at what happened to the sons of Shaphan today. So first of all, we're going to look today at Jaazaniah. Let's just start with him. We'll start with Benio. I'm going to work out the same way in the end, but we're going to try and find God tonight. Now, Jaazaniah. I'm looking for my references. Bear with me today. Ezekiel 8. Go to Ezekiel chapter 8. We'll look at Jazaniah. Now, Ezekiel was carried away into Babylon, and Ezekiel was a prophet of the Lord. He was a powerful prophet, a unique prophet. I encourage you to read your Bible, read the prophets. We need some grace. It's hard to find your place with one hand, much less when you're preaching. So Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 1, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Now here he is in Babylon, the hand of the Lord is on him. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head. He grabbed him by his hair, took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. Do you get the picture here? Ezekiel's being carried in the vision of God by his hair through the air right to Jerusalem, though he's hundreds of miles away. And here the angel takes him to Jerusalem, if I understand that right, that that's an angel. The only other option would be Christ himself, but I don't go there. This angel brought him to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh the jealousy. So this angel took Ezekiel to the church house. And when he got there to the church house, to the temple of God, he found an image of jealousy in the gate. And it says, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, the northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy at the entry. This is a graven image. God said, thou shalt not make unto me any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And here was the image of jealousy in the northern gate. And the glory of the God of Israel was there. You know, sometimes people say the Spirit of God is in this place, and He is, but maybe He's not there the way you think He is there. Maybe the Spirit of God is in your church today, but maybe He's not happy. Did that ever cross our minds today? Did that ever cross your mind? He said, furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold, the wicked abominations that they do here. Now remember, these people could not see Ezekiel. And this is a vision, but I want to tell you, God's literal. When he says something, he means it. And Ezekiel was there. And Ezekiel was seeing things that were happening there. And those people couldn't see him. I wonder who's around today that we can't see. No, Jesus Christ sees everything that's going on. Ezekiel here is like a type of Christ in that he can see everything that's going on. God gave Ezekiel his own sight into everything that was happening. And he told Ezekiel, dig through this wall. And Ezekiel dug in the wall. Now, they didn't see a hole, I don't believe, for a minute, because they didn't react to this. You don't need science fiction. You don't need the TV to blow your mind. The Bible's got plenty of material if you'll just read it and believe it. Here he's digging in the wall, and then there's a door. And the angel here says, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Now, don't you reckon they had a guard at the door? Don't you think they had it locked? That didn't stop Ezekiel. He walked right in through the door. And there they were, and he saw them. They didn't see him. Look at verse 10. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall ran about. This is in the temple. They're using the rooms in the temple. And they have all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed. They have unclean beasts. and they have idols everywhere in that room, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. By the way, God sees what's going on with the ancients of the house of America up in Washington, D.C. right now. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, God sees what's going on in the White House. God sees what's going on around this nation right now. You think it's behind closed doors. You think you've hidden. You think you've covered it up. But God sees through the walls, and He sees through the doors, and He sees in the darkness, because God sees everything. Now here He was, and there were 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood, here He is, here's our man, Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Here's old Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, standing in the midst of the elders with every man his censer in his hand, just like a Catholic priest standing up there with idolatrous censer doing their incense before God, contrary to the word of God. There he is with his idols. There he is with his idols. I'm sorry if you don't like that. It's Bible. And if you read your Bible, you understand that today. The Catholic Church is nothing but a den of idolatry. It is a den of whoredoms. It is a den of sodomy. It is a den of false devils. It is a den of false spirits. It is a den of every unclean abomination on the face of this earth. The Catholic Church is one of the most filthy, vile organizations that ever existed. Read your Bible. If you don't like it, read your Bible. I've been in a Catholic sacristy doing work in there. I've read their prayer books. I've talked to them extensively. I understand what they mean whenever they say what they say, because I've talked to them and because I've searched it out. And you might not understand it because you haven't read it. That's what they want. And we'll get off that. I'm sorry if that doesn't float your boat, but it's true. Thank you. Amen. Here's old Jaazaniah with his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. God's not coming back. He's not going to judge. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are. That's what we're saying today. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And there he leaves Jaazaniah, and that's the first and the last mention of Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan. The son of Shaphan. Shaphan the scribe who was part of a revival. Shaphan the scribe who believed God. Shaphan the scribe who assisted with one of the greatest revivals in the history of Israel. And his son is committing wicked abominations in the very house of God. Some of you are here today just like Jaazaniah, a pagan Christian. You heard me right. A pagan Christian. Today you might be in the house of God. You might go to church every day. But the chamber of your imagery is in your heart. You've got your idols set up all around your heart. You say you believe God, but in works you deny Him. Here was Jaazaniah at the house of God in the name of God. But he had witchcraft. And he was in the middle of witchcraft. And he had it hidden behind closed doors. Here was Jaazaniah, part of a secret society. Listen, if we can't tell the truth, what good would it do? He's in there with the Masons. He's in there with the Mormons. He's in there with the Shriners. He's in there with all these secret societies and all the witchcraft that they've got going on. He's got the New Age stuff. He's involved with the New Age garbage. What's that they call progressive Christianity today? In there with all this feel-good, ooey-gooey Christian stuff. A bunch of Christian psychology that has no place in God's kingdom, that you can't find in the Bible. He's mixed in with his witchcraft. He's mixed in with his Eastern mysticism. He's mixed in with his yoga. He's mixed in with his manga. All this Eastern manga, if you don't know what that is, God bless you. It's a bunch of trash out of hell. And if you're in manga, it's going to take you to hell. And I love you enough to tell you, I say, how do you know that? Because it nearly ruined me, that's why. Because it nearly ruined me. They're a bunch of trash out of hell. And they'll take and they'll put a story out there that gets your kids' attention. And then next thing you know, they're in episode 178 of 364. And what parent has time to keep up with all that? They're not a one of you. And then on page 43 of episode 500 or something like that, here comes a bunch of nakedness and nudity and sodomy. And then they move on right from there. And if you don't believe it, it's because you don't know. Or you're a liar. That stuff's trash. God have mercy on us today. Listen to me. I love you under this tent tonight. I don't deserve to be here tonight. Apart from the grace of God, I would be burning in hell tonight. As a Christian, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I was a washout because I was doing the things Chaz and I was getting into. I was letting this junk into my home. I was letting this junk into my house. And it nearly destroyed me. And it nearly destroyed my family. And it'll destroy you too. If it doesn't destroy you, it's because God, because Satan himself is just dragging you along. He's got his arm around your shoulder like the brother preached. And he's just trying to grease your slide in there so he can steal the souls of your children. Jazaniah's into the nudity. He's into the pornography. He's into ungodly acts. He's into anime and comics. Listen to me. All this comic trash that's filled our nation and filled the imaginations of our people is going to take you to hell. It is idolatry. It is idolatry. The Greeks had it. The Greeks had it. All that trash, they had their superheroes, and look where it took them. Look at the Greeks and their superheroes. You don't like this tonight, it's the truth. Marvel Avengers, trash. It's trash out of hell. All that stuff is trash out of hell.
Yes, sir.
It's what I've got tonight. Listen to me, any man runs around with long hair claiming to be a god, will women worship him? And they put that on the big screen and your kids watch it. And you say, oh, look at Thor. Shame on you. Get that trash out of your house. God have mercy on me today. I don't want to be in the flesh. Praise the Lord. The smoke of your demonic worship fills your temple. You know, there's a saying, it goes around all over the place. Your body is your temple. Your body's your temple. No, it's not. Your body, if you're saved, is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
If you're lost, your body is a temple for foul spirits.
Yep.
That's all that's going to go in there. Until you get saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, you've got nothing but devils that are going to fill your temple.
Amen.
It ain't your temple. It's His temple if you're saved.
Amen.
A temple's just a building. The deist religion, the agnostic garbage evolution, old Jazaniah has all the abominations. He's mixed in with it all. And Christians that name the name of Christ, like I am a Christian, who named the name of Christ, have let this stuff into their homes like I did too. And you may be a Christian and you may die and go to heaven someday if you let the abominations and filth into your home, but your children are going to go to hell. Maybe not every one of them, but many of them will. Your friends, your nieces, your nephews, your loved ones, you will be useless for God, Christian, if you're letting this trash in your life. You will be rendered impotent. That means powerless. You will have nothing to offer this lost and dying world. You name the name of Christ, and you dabble in all the filth and the ungodliness and the false fire. Notice they have false fire in the temple. They have their censers burning. They have the low lights. They have the smoke. They had the fog. They had a good show. They had the images of their idolatry. And today in America, we've gone in for all this. Our churches turn down the lights. They smoke it up. They bring out the fog machines. They bring out all of their music. And they start beating on it like they're calling up the dead. And they try and work up the flesh. And they bring up a bunch of devils with them. Now, God sees all this. And God will expose it. I love you today. I love you today. Preaching's different than if you're talking to somebody one-on-one. If I had a chance to sit down with you and talk to you about it, I'd plead with you. I would beseech you right now, my job is to warn. A preacher's job is to cry aloud and show the nation of sin. That's the preacher's job in the Bible. It's not to make you feel all gushy and lovey-dovey, and but we're all good here because we ain't. God sees it all. They had their abominations. They had pagan prayers. Did you know the Bible says the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to God?
Right.
I want to repeat that. The prayer of the wicked is an abomination to God. You go praying to the saints. You think the saints are going to help you? It's an abomination. It's an abomination. You pray with your rosary and your little beads. It's an abomination to Almighty God. I'm sorry if you don't like that. I'm telling you the truth tonight. And it's from the Bible, and I can show you. And if you want to take time later, you come up and talk to me, and I'd be glad to go through the Scriptures with you and show you from the Bible. Brother Michael will help. We've got other men who here who would help and would show you from the Bible how this witchcraft and this idolatry is destroying our nation. Listen, I don't care today what denomination you're from. I don't care. I don't care what kind of tag you put on your name. You've got to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You've got to repent of your sins and believe the gospel. And if you repent and if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't make halfway Christians. Jesus Christ makes disciples. And when a Christian like me gets saved and wants to keep one foot down in the world and one foot up in the church and try and mix with the world and mix with the church, he's in for some rough times. Like me. And God's going to bust you. God's going to bust you like he busted me and like he's busted every other true Christian. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, if we receive not chastening, and this is Bible, you can look it up. If we receive not chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons.
Yep.
That word means an illegitimate child. And God used it. God used it in his book. I do not condone using that word as a swear word. But when the Bible says that, I'm going to say it, and I'm not going to blush when I say it because God said it. If you receive not chastening, whereof all are partakers, then you're an illegitimate child. You say you belong to the King, but he doesn't recognize you. Just like Matthew 7 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in thy name? And in thy name have we not prophesied? We've cast out devils. And I will say to them in that day, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Let me give you the less gracious, if you'll forgive me, hillbilly version of that, okay? Not rewriting the Bible. You ready?
Yeah.
It means go to hell, sinners. That's what it means.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that in anger. And I'm not going to try to put a spin on how Jesus will say it. Does it matter? Does it matter whether Jesus is angry whenever he says it or not, if he says it to you?
Right.
I don't want him to say that to you. But he will say that to you unless you repent and believe the gospel. And turn from your wicked ways. God sees it all. Think about those men in their secret society. Some of you have hundreds or thousands of internet friends on your dark witchcraft video games. I was into it. I'm sorry. I ain't nearly destroyed me. Some of you are into all that junk. You've got thousands of friends and you're out there casting spells and getting your mana and all your stuff out there and playing with witchcraft, and you don't even know you're dabbling with dark art. You're dabbling with the power of Satan. You go to church on Sunday. All your internet friends who you fellowship with in darkness, online witchcraft and idolatry. By the way, pornography is idolatry.
Amen.
Pornography is the worship of the human body. You are worshiping the physical body. And then it's setting up an image against Almighty God instead of worshiping God. In fact, man was made in the image of God. Man is made in the image of God. And whenever you pervert God-given desires and begin to go into that pornography and into those bikini shows and all that filth out there and all that immodesty, you are worshiping the image instead of the Creator.
Right.
You're breaking God's commandments. You think nobody knows what you did last night. You think nobody saw you sitting there by yourself. But God saw you.
Amen.
God saw you. And He'll see you every time. He doesn't miss a thing. Furthermore, the angels are keeping books. And they're writing down every single thought, every single word, every single action that you do, and you will be judged for them at the day of judgment unless you repent and turn from your wicked ways. Imagine what those men would have done if they had seen Ezekiel standing there. Imagine Ezekiel standing there with the tears running down his face. Ezekiel was a weeping prophet. A far godlier man than I am. And he would weep for his people. And he was pleading, even here in this passage, for God to have mercy on these very people. Imagine if they could see Ezekiel weeping there. What if they had heard him groaning in agony? You've hid your sin from your mommy, your daddy. You hid it from your preacher, but God saw it all the time. God knows the page number for those dirty pictures hidden in your comic books. God knows when you pull those things out and look at them again.
Yep.
I'm condemning myself today, and you all know that.
I'm with you, brother.
Amen.
that I obtain mercy.
Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Judgment is nigh. It's even at the doors. Even at the doors. You can see it in Jeremiah 9. Go there real quick. And move on. Jeremiah 9. He says here that the people have walked after the imagination of their own heart in verse 14. And after Balaam, which their fathers have taught them. And he cries out of the destruction that will come to them in verse 1. Look at it. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Listen up, America. You think what's happening in Ukraine is bad. You ain't seen nothing yet. If we don't turn back to God, you ain't seen nothing yet. Ukraine's not getting a fraction of the judgment that's going to come on this land if we do not turn from our wicked ways. God is a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. And if you take away the wrath, you ain't got God at all. You've made up a whole new God. We're going to move on now. Look at Gemariah. We'll see him in Jeremiah 36. We looked at Jaazaniah. He's a son of a preacher, son of a scribe, living in filth and ungodly acts in secret. Jeremiah 36:10. Then read Barak in the book.
There's that book again.
Then read Barak in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber. Here's our man of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan. We looked at Jaazaniah. Now we're looking at Gemariah. He's got a chamber in the house of the Lord. It says he's a scribe again. Just like his daddy was a scribe, he's a scribe. He's following along the legacy continuing in Gemariah. He's got a chamber in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And here Barak reads in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, so this is grandson of Shaphan, when he heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Delaiah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Akbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Now here's Gemariah. He's successful in government, successful in business, and he's successful in church. He has a godly daddy who loved the book. He's got a chamber in the house of God, but he's not there. He's in the scribe's chamber in the king's house. He's entangled in the affairs of this life. He's more busy. They're fasting. They're supposed to be having fasting and prayer, and he's supposed to be a scribe. And he's got a chamber in the house of God, but he's over here in the chamber of the king. He's tangled up in the king's business. He's sitting with the important people, not little people like you and me. He's in with the important people. He's up there with the princes. By the way, these guys are some bad apples. How many of you have figured out most politicians are some bad apples?
Yeah, amen.
They've got money, they've got power, and they use it to their advantage. And here's old Gemariah right in the mix of it. And Micaiah, verse 13, declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Barak read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi. Don't get hung on these names. Just do your best and move on, okay? Nobody knows how to say them. I'm serious. I don't know how to say them. I'm just going, okay? I'm guessing. And by the way, the Hebrew Greek scholars guess at it too. They don't know how to say it either. They'll tell you they do. They don't know nothing. Amen?
Amen.
A little bit of help. Amen. They don't know nothing. When they say, we're not going to go there. Moving on. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah. Here he comes. And so Barak, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand. So this Barak had gotten this roll from the prophet Jeremiah, and they brought him in to preach to him out of the book. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Barak read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and other, and said unto Barak, we will surely tell the king of all these words.
We're going to tell the king on mute.
We will surely tell the king all these words. Now notice that they were afraid. They were afraid. Now the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. These guys feared the word of the Lord, but they feared the king more. And this is Gemariah. Some of you here today have traded your walk with God for money, a better job, possessions, and power. You believe the Bible. Oh, you believe it, because Daddy was a preacher. You wouldn't dare not believe that book. It's your legacy. It's your heritage. You were raised in church. You believe the Bible, but you've mixed it with the world. You mixed your worship with the world. You come to the house of the God of God, and the Word moves you when you're in the house. But as soon as you leave the house on Monday morning, you're right back to the world. And you're right back to the ways of the world. And the ways of the world have a bigger place in your heart than the Word of God. This is Gemariah. Now look at what happens here. They said, we're going to tell the king. They asked about it. They got the story. They respected God's word enough to tell Barak, go get Jeremiah and hide. Because they knew it was about to get ugly. And they took that roll, that big scroll, they took it up to the king. They got up there, they told the king about it. The king said, go get it, read it to me. The Bible says in verse 22, now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he got three or four pages in, the king here cut it. He cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Our nation has thrown out the Word of God.
Amen.
And we've got some people in our churches who are mixed up with politics, and we need some good people in politics. I thank God when we get one, they're few and far between. But we got some people mixed up with this world, and they'll come to church on Monday, and then they'll go and they'll teach public school where they're not allowed to even carry in a Bible.
Right.
And they say they believe Jesus Christ is Lord. But when the school superintendent says, don't you pray in here, don't you dare tell that child about Jesus. Oh, yes, sir.
Yep.
Oh, yes, sir. You've traded your walk with God.
Yep.
You've traded your effectiveness. You've traded your voice. You've traded the gospel. And you've traded your legacy that you claim you still hold to. You've traded it for power. You've traded it for possessions. You've traded it for convenience. You've traded it for money. And you've sold out. You sold out your family. You sold out your daddy, your mommy. You sold out your sons. You sold out your daughters. You sold out your nieces. You sold out your nephews. There's a sign up the street here. Black Lives Matter. Justice anywhere is unjust anywhere. Unjustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. Listen to me in love tonight. What color is your blood tonight? What color is your blood? What color is your blood, I said?
Red.
The Bible says he hath made of one blood all people. And we ain't black people or white people here tonight.
Right.
We're red-blooded people that Jesus Christ died for, that he loved. Injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere, they say. And then they turn around and butcher a baby in the womb of a mother.
Yep.
They tell a school teacher that loves God that it's got to teach a boy he's a girl. But don't you dare tell him about the Son of God. You sold out. Sold out your people. You sold out your nation. And except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Gemariah would not risk his petition by his position by standing for the Word of God. Watch out, Gemariah. Judgment is coming.
God, have mercy on us tonight. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, old Jazz and I just want to take another swing at him real quick by the help of God. Jazz and I, a lot of times, was preaching. A lot of preacher Jazz and I's out there. Yep. They brought the wickedness, the abominations, the idols, and the filth right directly into the church house. There is not a denomination in this nation that has not been perverted. Yep. There is not one denomination that has not left the Word of God and departed from the commandments of God and has another gospel and another Jesus. Not one denomination. We're preaching another gospel, another Jesus, and another spirit in this land. And it is destroying this nation. We've got Jazz and Ias everywhere. They say Jesus. Michael, they're in the temple.
Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But in works, they deny Him. Last guy, hold on to your hats. It's a Ahikam. Old Ahikam. You say, well, at least bless God, I'm not like none of those guys. Well, get ready. Because God's Word has a way of pointing its finger at every one of us. If you like. See if I can find my verse. Let's go to, before you turn to Jeremiah 26. Look at Gemariah here in Jeremiah 36. When that roll was consumed on the hearth, when the king burnt the Bible, that's what it was, the Bible. There's always been Bibles. Don't you let people tell you this has been passed on orally. There's been Bibles since there have been people. Adam was smarter than every theologian that ever lived. He could figure out how to write things down. Noah could build an ark. Don't you think he could write a book? Give me a break. Lord, help us today. So, here he is, and it says, yet they were not afraid. They burned the Bible. America's burnt the Bible.
Yep.
Burned it in effigy. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither their king, nor any of his servants that heard all these words. They weren't afraid. Now, they were afraid when they heard the Bible, but when the king burnt it, they weren't afraid. So, who were they really afraid of? It says, nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah, and here's this Gemariah. Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. And here's old Gemariah putting up on his Facebook page, I believe not. Rejoice in the Lord. In everything give thanks. And that's about as much Bible as you'll see come out of it. I know the thoughts I have for you, saith the Lord. That's a good Bible verse, by the way. I'm not mocking God's Word. Don't you get me wrong. Those are wonderful verses. But that's all they'll say. Weak, mean, wobbly, and shaky voice. Oh, Gemariah, they might make a weak little intercession, but they're not going to stand. Now we're in Ahikam, the son of Gemariah. Now this is the good boy right here. What did I tell you to go? Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah 26 tonight. And verse 24. Now this is a story where, thank you so much. No sir, not taking the question. I appreciate it. God bless you. Amen. Amen. So here he has Jeremiah 26, 24. And this verse comes whenever the people are trying to decide whether or not they're going to kill Jeremiah the prophet. And Ahikam stands up with Jeremiah. Look at verse 24. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, and that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. So old Ahikam stood up for Jeremiah. Ahikam believed the Bible, and he stood up for Jeremiah when everybody else wanted to kill him. He backed up his pastor. Amen. We need some old-fashioned pastor backer uppers. And when a pastor stands up and says sodomy wrong, we'll stand up next to him and say sodomy's wrong. And if you send him to jail, you're going to have to take me too. Amen. I thank God for my pastor who's willing to make a stand. I'll stand with him. I'm not ashamed of him, Reg Kelly.
I'm not saying that to pump him up or to give up anything else, but because I own him, because he's a brother in Christ, and I'm not ashamed of him. Thank God for him. He might be ashamed of me, but I'm not ashamed of him. Now, here's Elohim. He had a godly father. He loved the book. He participated in Josiah's revival. Back there when we read about Shaphan, Ahikam was helping Shaphan in the revival. And praise God for boys who grow up helping their daddies who are preaching the word. But here's old Ahikam helping his daddy in the revival. He defended Jeremiah. He respected the man of God. He believed the word of God. Mostly. Mostly. He stayed in Jerusalem. When the prophet said, depart ye, go out from her. When the prophet said, God said, I'm going to destroy this place. And Jeremiah said, if you stay in this city, you'll be destroyed. But if you go to the Chaldeans, your life will be given you for a prey. And he can stay. And he can stay. He believed God mostly. He lacked spiritual discernment. He lacked leading of the Holy Spirit. His boy was made governor. And we'll see that Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam. Boy, I'm losing my references tonight. I'm sorry for that. Let's see if I can find it right here, because we need to see that today. Not sure I can find it. You look it up in the end of Jeremiah. Old Ahikam's son, Gedaliah, was made governor of the land after the final carrying away. Now he survived the carrying away. This is really important that we get this today. I did not write that down, but you can find it. It's in the end of the book of Jeremiah. It's also, I believe, in 2 Chronicles. It records the carrying away, but we'll just move on for sake of time. So Ahikam's son, Gedaliah, is made governor after the third carrying away. And along comes a man named Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah. And Ishmael comes up and buddies with Gedaliah. And Gedaliah thinks everything's going to be okay. Well, the captain of the army that was left behind to protect Gedaliah told him, Ishmael is going to kill you. A lot of names, hard to follow. I know that. Hang with me. Gedaliah, the grandson of Shaphan. Got that? Gedaliah. Everybody say Gedaliah. So Gedaliah is now the governor. And he's got a buddy named Ishmael. It's not the same Ishmael that Abraham birthed. And Ishmael, the captain says, is going to kill you, Gedaliah. Gedaliah wouldn't listen. And Ishmael killed him. End of story for Gedaliah. And there goes the family. What happened to this family? Some of you today are doing everything you can to raise your kids right. Some of you out here, you believe the Bible and you obey it. Some of you have a pretty good understanding of the Bible. And you're using all of your energy for Christ and country. And no man can serve two masters. You've mixed your allegiance with the United States of America and with the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ the righteous. And because of that, you've got one foot over here, one foot over there, and you're not prepared to take a full stand for Jesus Christ. What if He came back and judged this nation tomorrow? What would you do? This one's hard for us. Jeremiah 41:2 is where it mentions this man's story. So you can look that up and read it. Ahikam fell off the scene and his boy was made governor and he thought he would work in spite of God's word. America, you think it's going to work in spite of God's word. You think we're going to kill babies and God's not going to judge. You think we're going to run sodomy rampant throughout these streets and teach little boys and girls perversion in school and that God's not going to judge? You think we're going to be unfaithful to our wives? We think we're going to be unfaithful to our husbands and cheat on them? We think we're going to have fornication and premarital sex and God's not going to judge? And I've got news for you tonight through the Word of God, the Bible, God's going to judge. God is going to judge. Old Gedaliah loved his country more than God. I don't know if Gedaliah was saved or not, so to speak. But I know one thing, he died. I know one thing, he got left behind. I want to give you something tonight. There were three carrying aways there. And God said in the book of Jeremiah, that the children of Israel were like baskets of figs. Has anybody ever eaten a fig? A couple of you have. And he said, one basket over here was good figs, good to eat. And one basket over here was full of naughty figs, all knurled up and naughty. They were so naughty they could not be eaten. He said, these figs are the ones that obey me and love me. And these figs are the Israelites that don't care about me. The naughty figs. The good figs love me. And get this, he said, I'm going to carry away the good figs into Babylon. Wait a second. Wait a second. Lord, wouldn't you... Those guys sinned. We're trying to do right, Lord. We're trying to obey you. Those guys are sinning. We love this country. We do. Our forefathers bled and died for this country. And they did. And we're grateful for it. Lord, why can't we keep this place? I'm no forecasting kind of prophet. I'm the Bible kind of prophet that proclaims the Word of God that's already written. Amen. And that's all. And I'm not claiming a special badge for it. God help us tonight. So I'm not trying to tell you America is going to disappear in 5 years or anything like that. Okay, I don't know. I do not know. What I am going to tell you is God took away He didn't take away the naughty figs, He took away the good figs. And what looked like God's judgment on a man called Daniel, remember Daniel in the lion's den? What looked like God's judgment on a man named Daniel, who had his body mutilated so that he could not have children, he was carried away to serve the very country that destroyed his own country. What looked like the worst thing was actually God's preservation. And it was actually God's mercy. And it was actually God removing His good people before He brought the hammer down on the bad people. Old Gedaliah stuck with his country in spite of God's word. And I'm telling you today, there's going to be a day. If it hasn't come already, I'm not sure. If it hasn't, I don't know. There's going to come a day where Christians are going to have to decide between God and America. There's going to be a day. I love the flag. As long as I can, I'll pledge allegiance to the flag. But that's an outward show of an outward loyalty to an external country that is not my home. Because I'm just passing through. Amen. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens to America, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't want any of you to get hung up on that prophet thing. God have mercy on me. I really didn't mean that in any kind of pride. I hope you just give me mercy on that. All I'm saying is, we just got to take just a second here. Prophecy in the Bible means speaking the words that God has spoken. We've totally redefined it. We've made prophecy forecasting, fortune telling, palm reading, crystal ball reading, and it ain't. If your prophet is telling you the future, you ain't got a prophet. I'm sorry, you've got a wizard. It's in the Bible. Read it. Real prophets are just preachers who are preaching the Word of God He already wrote. And that's what I meant by it. And it's only by the grace of God that I have the privilege to stand and preach the Word of God. Help me, Lord, tonight. Not say anything that would stumble these people, Lord. Because we love these people, Lord. We love every one of them here. We love every one of these people in Gainesville. Help us tonight, Lord. So who are you tonight? Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. As we're wrapping this thing up, Nebuchadnezzar is a type of the Antichrist. And here, the children of Israel are carried away into captivity, taken into another place. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not sure exactly how all this lines up. Don't ask me to completely explain. I'll talk to you about it. But there's a taking away going to happen here real soon. The good figs are about to get taken away. Now, I'm sure looking forward to our taking away a whole lot more than the Jews taking away. We don't have to go to Babylon, see. We don't have to go sit under Nebuchadnezzar. See, we have a king who's coming. And when he comes to catch up his bride, he's going to get that basket of good figs, and he's going to take them up to glory. To be with him forever. No mutilation there. No pain there. No fiery furnace there. And it's coming. God's about to take out his bride, the church, he bought with his blood. It's coming. I just want to throw something at you tonight. Jazaniah survived all the carrying away.
Right.
Got a lot of Christians that are trying to survive the rapture. They don't want it.
Right.
They don't want God's rapture. They don't want God's righteousness.
Yeah.
They don't want God's holiness. They don't want to be taken out because their kingdom is on this earth. Okay? Are you tracking? Are you tracking? So we have Jehazaniah missed the carrying away. Gemariah missed the carrying away. Gedaliah and Ahikam and Micaiah, all these boys missed the carrying away. They all had a godly father. They all grew up with the Bible. They all grew up in church. They all heard the old gospel, so to speak, to put it in our terms today, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And whosoever believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. They heard it. One of them didn't believe it at all. He was a wizard masquerading as a preacher. One of them believed it, but he was more interested in power and money. One of them believed it mostly. They all missed the carrying away. We've got a carrying away coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming for His bride. It doesn't matter who your daddy is. It doesn't matter how much Bible you know. It doesn't matter how many days you've spent in the temple. It doesn't matter. Any of that doesn't matter. All that matters is what you do with Jesus Christ. What you do with Jesus Christ. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow my call, and a stranger's voice they will not know." Are you following Jesus Christ? Are you following some apostle? Are you following Jesus Christ? Are you following some denomination? Are you following Jesus Christ? Or are you following some politician? Are you following Jesus Christ? Or are you following mama and daddy? Who are you following tonight? Who are you tonight? You're one of these guys, very likely. Or you can be a blood-bought, born-again Christian. Filled with the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust thereof. Created in true righteousness and true holiness according to the Word of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Keeping yourself from sin. Not perfectly, but when you fall, confessing your sin, because He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and getting up off your dirty, scraped up knees and marching on for Jesus and doing everything in your power to follow Jesus. Who are you tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Head bowed, every eye closed. Can you get the piano stuff here? We heard the Word of God preached tonight. Like the brother said, most of us can fall under one of those categories. We came here for an old-time Bible temple Bible. When God deals with us, we need to respond. It won't do you any good to come to a tent. It won't do you any good to hear preaching and not do anything with it. And too many times we let our pride creep in and we don't do anything with the preacher. It's easy to say amen. It's easy to read the words. But if you don't respond when God deals with you, it'll be nothing. It'll be nothing. How many of you, if you claim to be saved, have you got your foot in the world, one foot in the world and one foot with God? Is the world luring you in? If it is, you need to get that right with God. Don't put it off. It won't get better if you put it off. This altar is open. If God dealt with you, get it right tonight. You talk to a lot of people, you ask them if they're saved, and they say, "Yeah, I'm saved. I know God." And then you ask them, "Well, how are you going to get to heaven? How do you know God?" And most of the time, they say, "Because I've been a good person." Are you trusting in something other than the blood of Jesus Christ? In the Bible, John 3:15 says, "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God," and we all know this verse, "for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." you don't believe in God, then you don't have eternal life. Don't lie to yourself. Don't trust in something else. We live in the South. Down here, I love the South. But down in the South, a lot of times people know all the right words to say. They've heard it over and over and over and over again. And they've been in church, just like Brother was talking about. They grew up with the Bible preached to them. But it's done nothing. They've done nothing with God. Do something with God tonight. Don't sit under condemnation. For God sent His Son into the world to condemn, but that the world through Him might be saved. God doesn't want to condemn you, but He will. Do something with Jesus Christ. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you haven't believed on God, if you haven't repented of your sins and come to God and believed that Jesus was fully God, fully man, and that He died, and shed His blood, and rose again the third day, I'm telling you this out of love, you're under God's condemnation. If you have believed on God, or maybe you've been tangled up in the world, maybe you got one foot in the world, and you're one person at church, and you're one person at work, get it right today. Ask God to help you. Don't just sit there. Don't just sit there. Do business with God tonight.
Business with God. his heart to believe that all of us will be saved. I hope that we are. I hope everybody in this gets saved. I really do. But the devil's subtle. He blinds people. Like Brother Bree, many will come unto Jesus and say, Lord, Lord. They thought they knew God, but they didn't know the God in His Bible. God, I thank you. thank you for this meeting, Lord. I thank you for meeting with us, Lord. Lord, you said your words won't return void, Lord. I pray, Lord, you help your people. I pray, Lord, for the Christians, Lord, in this land, that you provide us, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be half-hearted. Help us not to get entangled with this world. And Lord, I pray for any lost sinner in here, Lord, lost soul that's on their way to hell, Lord, that you make it so real to them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you see that, that open their eyes, take the blinders off, that they need a Savior, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name.